You are listening to That's What I Call Marketing with your host, Connor Byrne.
Well, welcome to That's What I Call Marketing. It is, of course, our monthly roundup. So top of the marketing charts for March. And there was so much to get through in March. I'm sure I'm missing stuff. So please do let me know in the comments what you think were your highlights of March 2024. As you know, our 2024 sponsorship kit is now available. Visit thatswhatiCallMarketing.com/sponsor and you can find all the details of how you can get involved with the show. And of course, we have a really special opportunity for you around the Cannes Festival. So if you'd like to get involved with That's What I Call Marketing at Cannes 2024, get in touch. We have a really, really exciting opportunity. And of course, do rate and review our show wherever you're listening or watching and subscribe so you never miss an episode of That's What I Call Marketing again. Well, we have so much to get through in March, so let's get going. First up for me was the Heinz ketchup insurance. Well, we've all been there, hitting a bottle of ketchup, sticking a knife in to get the pour going, and then bam, ketchup everywhere. This is a problem as old as time. Well, since the Heinz bottle was introduced in 1889. Anyway, talk about long-term brand building. Anyway, Heinz Arabia announced the launch of a new solution for ketchup lovers who sometimes get a little carried away. The world's first ever ketchup insurance policy. The new insurance coverage aims to alleviate the stress and inconvenience of everyday ketchup spills, splatters, and splotches. Heinz lovers in the UAE had the opportunity to redeem compensation through a range of rewards, including home cleaning services, laundry assistance, handyman services, and even indulgent spa treatments. I really love this idea, and they even have given 59 examples of the types of things the insurance would cover. I wonder, will this roll out in other markets? Really, really clever idea. Well, coming in just at the end of February, but it made it into my March volumes because I spotted it in March, is the LinkedIn Edelman B2B Thought Leadership Impact Report. It's the sixth year of the report, and it had some interesting insights. Things like over 50% of decision makers spend an hour or more a week reading thought leadership content. Thought leadership that spurs business leaders to rethink their challenges is a powerful tool for stimulating demand for your business products and services. They say that 70% are more likely to trust an organization that consistently produces high quality content, and 90% are more likely to be interested in outreach. Despite the clear power of thought leadership to drive business results, most organizations say that they have it under-resourced, misused, and worse, it's not measured appropriately. Few B2B companies can link sales leads back to their thought leadership efforts. I'm going to be honest, I'm pretty surprised at that. We talk about that actually in our B2B Marketing Time for a Reboot podcast, which you can check out, and the importance of thought leadership. So the value associated with it, but we aren't investing enough and we're not measuring it. This is a report that is well worth a read. Well, next up, Paddy Power are at it again. I've talked about this brand before and they are so consistent in their tone. And I mean for years. Like many products, they have new features and benefits to talk about. But instead of talking about the product and feature, they find a really creative way to bring it to life. This time, the new feature is around subs in your football bets. So if your player comes off, the substitute steps in and your bet will continue. And they decided to use the Brazilian superstar Ronaldo as a sub in a really entertaining piece around kind of a Sunday football match. The manager in this piece is wonderfully cast. I know the person who cast him. And the script is so much fun, an incredible production by Dublin-based Oranges and Lemons. Again, if you have not seen this, it is worth taking a look. Of course, St. Patrick's Day is a big deal all over the world, and it is on March 17th. Irish people in every corner of the globe, we are probably one of the few nations that own a colour. Of course, my Dutch friends will say that they own a colour too, and yes, you can't disagree with that. The strong orange. But yes, we own green and you'll have seen lots of global landmarks go green to mark our national day. And just for clarity, because I'm pedantic, it's not St. Patty's Day. So please, no. Aside from the green, we're well known, of course, for Guinness. And Kahlua had fun, St. Patrick's Day, featuring two Irish influencers. Really well cast, fun piece, maybe a little bit too twee, but who cares? It was really enjoyable. I think it works because, you know, we often talk about, you know, brands talking about other brands and their advertising, but like Clue aren't competing for Guinness share necessarily. It's in line with where Clue are going. No wine, Fridays for Clue. So thought this was really good. I'm sure the people behind Clue really enjoyed it because they are owned by Diageo's biggest competitor. Well, next on to some of the big news again around TikTok. Is it going to be banned in the US? That is, of course, the big question after the House of Representatives voted to pass a law forcing the app to be sold by its Chinese parent company or face a state-side ban. It's a fascinating platform that offers all but fleeting attention for brands and, of course, reach, really, if you pay for it. The concerns really are around the vast amount of personal user data collected by TikTok's Beijing-based parent company ByteDance and the idea that this could pose a national security threat. ByteDance have 6 months to divest TikTok or face a nationwide ban. If TikTok were banned in the US, the more than 100 million users who have downloaded the app would likely still be able to access it. New users would also potentially be able to download it using a virtual private network. So even with the app's removal from app stores, experts think that TikTok's devoted and resourceful US fans would still find a way to continue using it. But what would it mean for advertisers? Can they still advertise on it? Would they still advertise on it? I guess that's yet to be played out. But this is a big money spinner, so you got to think something's going to happen here. It would be an inconvenience and harm its reach, but realistically, there'd probably still be some way to access it, said Professor of Computer Science Justin Kapos at New York's Tandon School of Engineering. Let's see how this one plays out. Well, next on to AI and the question of, is it taking over creativity? Well, Sam Altman's comments that 95% of what marketers use agencies, strategists, and creative professionals for will be handled by AI at nearly no cost was definitely causing a stir in March. Now, the comment relates to artificial general intelligence, which he says is about five years away. Now, the comment relates to artificial general intelligence, which he says is about 5 years away. At the speed things change, I wouldn't bet it would take that long. So is it true? Can AI replace agencies? And if it can, what do we do? Well, the fact of the matter is AI is already replacing some tasks that agencies have been asked to do in the past. But the important point to make here is it is requiring people who have the skills to use AI, work with it and analyze it. Automation is and has been used for a long time. And typically you see lower funnel optimization type work happening in that space. Can AI take over higher level thinking? Can it replace the creative director that leans into human insight? Can it do humor and fame? I honestly don't know. Kind of hope not. There's enough sameness out there in marketing. I truly believe we need human intervention to do great work. If you aren't convinced, check out Vicky Ross on X, where she often shares things AI wouldn't write. What I do know is we absolutely have to get our heads, not just around AI, but in front of it. Use it, get used to it. See how it can help. I spoke to Mary Rose Lyons about that in an episode on this podcast. So definitely check that. But Altman's perspective definitely challenges agencies to reconsider their value proposition, maybe emphasizing the need for innovation and harnessing AI as a tool for enhancing rather than replacing human creativity. The conversation highlights the ongoing evolution of the creative industry in the face of technological disruption. Well, neatly leaning into the previous topic, Under Armour released what the director Wes Walker called the first AI-powered sports commercial. The one-minute spot features Anthony Joshua talking about how time can forget you and exploring his mental approach. The film was made in 3 weeks with no athlete access and using all AI tools. Naturally, this caused a stir amongst the creative community, perhaps more because the apparent approach failed to initially recognize the previously created work was used in the piece. According to TechCrunch director Gustav Johansson, cool film, but all the stuff with the athlete was shot from a commercial I did. The credits were updated to include work that had been previously used. The main issue here seems to be that the brands are taking work and reusing it. I think that's always been done. Rather that they might be abusing the creative craft that was used to generate the original work. Work that had a strategy and vision that everyone bought into. Rob Webster summed it up well. Times are shifting. Surely it's responsibility of creatives to resist changes that allow agencies and brands to steal work from colleagues without appropriate credit. The use of this technology is inevitable, but the application of it and discourse around it is very much in our hands. So while the narrative may be that this was done by AI and quickly, when you look at the credits, there was a lot of people involved either directly or indirectly from previous work to create this piece. It took a village. Cannes 2024, it's not that far away and speakers are starting to be announced. We are planning our presence at Cannes, as I've mentioned. Yes, that's what I call marketing. We'll be on the ground for the week covering the festival and giving you all the insights with daily roundups and catching up with as many people as we can, doing interviews. If you are planning on being there, let me know. We can meet up and do an interview. We're looking for brands or agencies to get involved with the series from Cannes. And no, we're not looking to stay in the Le Majestic seven-star hotel and seven-star or two-star accommodation it booked. No, it's just to support us getting the kit we need to record and film high-quality content. In return, we're going to be able to offer you amazing content that reaches a growing and engaged community of marketers. Next up is Pot Noodle Slurp. Well, Pot Noodle, if you're not aware, they're the dehydrated noodle brand. Sounds lovely, doesn't it? And to be fair, they have done great work over the years. They released an ad that contained a massive slurp sound, a sound familiar to pot noodle slurpers everywhere. There was uproar. Okay. There was okay relative, with some people highly offended by the slurping sound. At the time, it reminded me of some ads on Irish radio for Jacobs, which is a Vallejo Foods brand. And the VO eats food. I think it really, on radio, somehow just the sound is enhanced, and I don't mean in a good way. It kind of grossed me out. I actually think they might have changed it now. But I was less offended by the slurp. Anyway, Pot Noodle decided to the noise about the noise, apologizing to those offended by the sound. When I first saw this, I thought, oh no, the world has totally lost it. If Pot Noodles have to apologize over a sound, we're in real trouble. But they're doing this so well. Along with Adam and Eve, DDB, as reported in LBB, they used data to identify which people were most sensitive to the slurp, skipping just when the slurping noise started. Once this group was established, they delved further into the data, seeking out which sounds those people find personally satisfying, and they explore the types of content these slurpophobes consumed, from saxophone tutorials to F1 highlights. They were able to determine what their niche interests were and what sounds they positively respond to. The team then tailored more than 50 different versions of the ad to target those most adverse to the slurp. Isn't that just genius? They followed up with TV, print, and so on. What a brilliant way to get even more out of the campaign. Was it planned? Oh, come on. Lena and Mark from Pot Noodle and DDB, Adam Eve, DDB, come on, tell us, was it planned? Well, does it really matter? It worked. Sales were reportedly up 10%. If you haven't seen the work, definitely check it out. Well, it's all about sounds in March. Bailey's sounds. Well, are you a Bailey's drinker? Do you have the dilemma of not knowing how much Bailey's is left in the bottle? Did you even know it was a problem you had? Well, now you do. And Bailey's and VML have solved this problem with Bailey's sound scales, where you blow into the bottle of Bailey's, kid you not, and the sound scales app tells you how much Bailey's you have left and offers some recipe ideas. Clearly the bigger issue this is solving for Bailey's is a reminder to drink the bottle you bought at Christmas and stop again. Oh, I'm all in. Well, next up, Andrex is getting comfortable with poos, and there is no way I'm going to try link this story to Bailey's. If you think of Andrex, you think about the cute puppy running around the house with toilet paper, smiling kids, soft tissue paper, a nod to what it is used for, a gentle nod. Well, it seems like the folks at Andrews have had enough of skirting around the issue. Now, don't worry, they have not killed off their distinctive asset, the cute puppy. He is alive and well and hasn't aged a day in 52 years. But they are tackling poos head on in a bold new brand platform created by FCB London called Get Comfortable. They are entering, as Matt Stone, marketing director, Kimberly Clark UK and I said, the start of a significant transformation for the Andrex brand and we hope for British culture. This platform aims to help the nation get over our collective social constipation. One spot at a time. One spot sees the female lead fart in the office and own her need to. The second spot sees a guy basically dance around the toilet with toilet paper. They're backed up by Out of Home that is equally confronting, and they're also working with Bowel Cancer UK, which is a great thing. This is a departure for sure, and when I saw the work, I wondered was it a reaction to who gives a crap, who are owning bums. Well, Stella Artois has enlisted the help of one of the world's biggest stars in an attempt to stop the decline of its sales, where they have lost volume share in 4 out of the last 5 years. However, there were mixed reviews about the out-of-home that did not use the star's face, declaring him too distracting. The star in question, David Beckham. Was this all a bit too clever? Did people notice or even care? Is it just us that we're talking about the out-of-home? Definitely it is a risk to use a star and then not actually use them, but that isn't actually what they've done. This is part of a year-long campaign that will run in the US, Canada, Argentina, Brazil, Chile, South Korea and South Africa, so they're sweating that David Beckham asset. And you've no doubt that you will know that it is David Beckham behind this campaign because I've already seen work online, maybe it's TV ads, I'm not sure, but David Beckham is front and centre. I'm sure you've seen the next piece, but it's definitely worth giving it a mention. Look, I worked in the nonprofit sector for a long time. It's a tough industry. Budgets are tight. Competition is steep. People don't like hearing that, but it's true. And getting cut through is really, really hard. And this is a wonderful piece, Assume I Can. It tackles head on the perceptions of Down syndrome from the perspective of people with Down syndrome. The ad was created by an Italian Down syndrome organization called Core Down. Was released in recognition of World Down Syndrome Awareness Day on March 21st. And it is showing that many, if not most, of the assumptions about drive and abilities are just that, assumptions. Tevlin, the actress in the spot, sums it up brilliantly. I always say that I have Down syndrome and it's the least interesting thing about me. The part of who I am, well, it's not all of me. We should all celebrate our differences in our own special, unique ways. I'm sure you've seen this piece. If you haven't, definitely check it out. Okay, real quick mention here, because I don't want this to be like the Uncommon show. Look, they're at it again. They've done a lot of work in March, but I definitely wanted to call out bringing back the classic B&Q line, you can do it. And they've done it with stunning out of home. It's just the simplicity and clarity of this, the art direction, I absolutely adore. Well, next up, Starbucks has dropped their CMO. Well, has it? This is another one of those, oh, the CMO is dead. The CMO is not body. The CMO is blah, blah, blah. Well, the headline was attention grabbing, but the reality is Starbucks has actually promoted its global chief marketing officer, Brady Brewer, to CEO. And while they will not replace the role, instead in a corporate restructure, Starbucks have said they will distribute marketing support under each of Starbucks' geographic CEOs, creating a balance, clear geographical focus, investing in functional capabilities to scale around the world. To me, this seems to be a brilliant move and giving marketing actually more influence, more, want of a better word, power. And Thomas Barthes always tells us that's okay to say power for marketing and the global functions within Starbucks. So this isn't a call to get out and stop marketing. If any, it's a call maybe to broaden our marketing skill set, embrace a more holistic view of brand strategy and business development. Because guess what? Maybe you are on a path to becoming CEO. AIM Awards time, closer to home. The shortlist was announced. It is AIM Awards and closer to home. The AIM Awards shortlist was announced. Congratulations to everyone nominated. I love awards. I've said it here before. I think they're a great place. They're great for industry, great for celebrating work. Do we have too many? Possibly, but these are great ones. We had another bumper month of episodes, and that's what I call marketing. If you missed our episodes, fret not. You can catch up anytime on YouTube, Spotify. You can catch up anytime on YouTube, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever you want. First up, we had It Depends with Dentsu COO Ian McGrath. Next, we had The Power of Marketing Effectiveness with Tom Roach. Then we moved into Unlocking Marketing with Empathy and Experimentation with Jessica Gilmartin, who's COO of Calendly. And finally, we had our B2B marketing panel, B2B Marketing Time for a Reboot with Tara Sullivan, Caroline Kelly, and Seamus Moore. And March 29th saw us celebrate 2 years on air. Thanks for listening. And a massive thanks to John Goldstone, who was our very first guest, and I'll always be appreciative for John for taking that leap of faith. Of course, as I said at the start of the show, we are always looking for support for this show. Sometimes people think this is a full-time paying job I have. It isn't. And there are costs associated, so we are always looking for people to get behind the show, just like the amazing Una and Peter in the Indie List, and of course, Diplomat Agency. Of course, check out our sponsorship kit. That's what I call marketing.com/sponsor and have a conversation with us about how we can partner with you and really engaged community of marketers. Well, listen, that is for our top of the marketing charts in March. You can see there was so much going on. And as I said, I'm sure there's loads I've missed. So please do let me know your favorite moments of the month. If you disagree with anything we said here, leave comments. Let's have a conversation. I love hearing different perspectives because, you know, these are just my points of view and my perspectives, and I love the challenges to them. So until our next episode, which is actually coming out tomorrow, April 2nd, we have the amazing Dr. Grace Kite joining us. Please tune in there and we will catch you next month for our marketing roundup. Until then, thanks a million for tuning in.
Today's show is supported by the Indie List, the leader in providing you with easy access to hundreds of highly experienced marketers quickly and cost effectively. Visit theindielist.ie to speak to the Indie List team today.
Are you facing the maze of global expansion? Diplomat introduces the Diplomacy Model, a cost-effective, innovative approach to navigating the complexities of your brand's presence in international markets. Visit diplomat.agency.
If you would like to reach an engaged community of marketing leaders, get in touch with That's What I Call Marketing to discuss sponsorship opportunities.